Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Rashi podcast for Parashat Mishpatim. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. Throughout Rashi's commentary, one senses the pull between Pshat on the one hand and Drash on the other hand. We often witness Rashi's efforts to bridge the two by choosing a Midrash, which best fits the structure of a Pasuk, and remains true to its meaning on some level. The dichotomy between the two types of interpretation, between the Pshat and the Drash, which Rashi tries to bring together, is even more acutely felt in the legal sections of the Torah, such as Parashat Mishpatim, this week's Parashat HaShavua. The Midrashic interpretation, after all, of the Psukim is that which is the basis of Jewish law. So if there is a difference between what we perceive as Pshat and the Midrashic interpretation, then this gives us pause. Rashi's commentary on these legal verses offers a distillation of the traditional Midrashic interpretation as it best fits into the verses themselves, thereby once again bridging between the Pshat and the Drash. One classic example of this is Rashi's interpretation of the verses in this week's parasha concerning the laws of a burglar. In Shmot Perek Kaf Bet, Psukim Aleph and Bet, it says, "Im b'machteret yimatzeh haganav, v'hukav v'met en lo damim." If in one's home a person kills a burglar who is breaking into his or her home, the killer is not liable for murder. And according to general consensus, this is based on the assumption that the thief is prepared to kill the homeowner if necessary, and therefore the killing of the thief is considered an act of self-defense. The pasuk, the Torah then continues, pasuk bet, im zarcha hashemesh alav, damim lo. If the sun rose upon him, meaning upon the burglar, blood guilt there is on his account. Meaning, if somebody kills him, they are guilty of murder. The Torah seems to be saying that if the break-in occurs in broad daylight, I mean, if the sun rose upon him, one cannot assume that the burglar intends to kill someone who interferes with the burglary, right? I guess the assumption being that if he's going to do it in broad daylight, he doesn't think he's not sneaking around. The assumption is that his intentions are somewhat less sinister. Therefore, the killing of the burglar is considered murder. The Midrashic understanding of this verse, however, is metaphoric. According to the Midrashic tradition, im zarcha hashemesh alav, if the sun rose upon him, defines not the time of day during which the theft occurs, but the clarity of the understanding of the situation on the part of the homeowner. The Gemara cites two braitot, two rabbinic statements from the time of the Mishnah, both of which interpret the verse in this manner. The first braita says, "Ein lo damim im zarcha hashemesh alav, v'chi hashemesh alav bilvad zarcha, ela im varor lecha hadavar kashemesh she'en lo shalom imcha hargeu, v'im lav al tehargeu." The pasuk says, "Ein lo damim im zarcha hashemesh alav." There is no blood guilt, meaning it is not murder if the sun shines upon him. And since when does the sun shine only on him? Right, a midrashic type of question. And why does the pasuk say zarcha hashemesh alav, that the sun is shining upon him? Rather, im baror lecha hadavar kashemesh she'ein lo shalom imcha. If it is crystal clear, right? If it is as clear as broad daylight that he does not come in peace, then you are allowed to kill him. And if not, you are allowed to kill him. Sorry, you are not allowed to kill him. Now, as many of you probably noticed, this first braita, this statement in the braita from the mentioned in the Gemara from the braita, reads the pasuk in a completely different way than we've been looking at it up until now. The Braita takes the end of Pasuk Aleph and attaches it to the beginning of Pasuk Bet, basically saying that you have to break down the Psukim in a manner different than we are accustomed to. And again, it reads it, "Ein lo damim im zarcha hashemesh alav." The basic assumption of this first Braita is you must be sure that the burglar wants to kill you in order to kill him. If it is clear to you that he does not come in peace, then you are allowed to kill him. Otherwise, you are forbidden to kill him. And then the Gemara brings a second braita. Tanya idach, im zecha ha-shemesh alav, damim lo. Right, so the second braita reads the pasuk in the way that we're ordinarily accustomed to read the pasuk. If the sun shines upon him, then killing him is murder. And then the braita asks the same question. V'chi ha-shemesh alav bilvad zercha. Right, why doesn't the pasuk simply say v'chi zercha ha-shemesh? Right, if it is meant to be literally daylight, why not just say if the sun is shining? Why zercha ha-shemesh alav? Ela im baror lecha ka-shemesh shi'yesh lo shalom imcha al tahargeu v'im lav hargeu. Right, the second braita says if it is clear to you as day, as broad daylight, she yesh lo shalom imcha, that he is coming in peace, you are not allowed to kill him. And if it is not as clear, if it is not clear to you as day that he is coming in peace, then you are allowed to kill him. Now the assumption of this second breita is very different than the first one. Here, if in the first breita, you must be sure that he wants to kill you in order to kill him, in the second breita, you are allowed to kill the burglar unless you are sure that he comes in peace. And now this is two very different assumptions. And then the Gemara continues on and explains that what is going on here with these two braitot is that we're talking about two different situations. In other words, the Gemara notices that there's a contradiction between these two braitot and brings a solution to explain why there isn't really a contradiction between them. Meaning, according to the Gemara, we are supposed to read the pasuk both ways, both according to the first braita and according to the second braita, for the purposes of Torah Shabbat Peh, but there isn't really a contradiction between them. How so? The Gemara then explains, and I realize that I'm rushing through this a little bit, the Gemara explains that the first case is talking about a situation where a father is breaking in to his son's house. The general assumption, according to the Gemara, is that a father would not ever kill his son. And therefore, if a son sees his father breaking into his home, he should generally assume his father is not going to kill him, and therefore it is forbidden for him to kill him. Meaning, it is forbidden for the son to kill his father, because he knows that his father would never kill him, and therefore he has no right. It's not self-defense. He has no right to kill him. When, according to the first braita, is a son allowed to kill his father if he's breaking into his house? If it is clear to him, like daylight, that his father would indeed kill him. The second braita, according to the Gemara, says that the situation of the second braita is the opposite scenario, where we have a son who is breaking into the home of the father. Here, the assumption of the Gemara is that a son might kill his father. It's not like a father and his son. A father would never, ever kill his own child. Whereas the Gemara does not assume that the opposite is true. And therefore, since there is a possibility that the son might actually kill his father, if the father sees the son breaking into his home, the father cannot assume that his father won't kill him. And so, if the father killed the son in self-defense, it is not considered murder because there is a real possibility that this burglar, the son, might have actually killed the father. So therefore, again, if in this situation where a son breaks into the home of the father is allowed to kill the son, the burglar, unless the father is 100% sure that the son is coming in peace, in which case it is forbidden for the father to kill the son. Now, in order to understand what Rashi does with this pasuk, and we're going to look at Rashi in a moment, since this is, after all, a podcast on Rashi, but in order to appreciate and understand the Rashi, we have to understand one more thing about how the Gemara is reading the pasuk. If you look back at the pasuk and reread it according to how the Gemara is reading it, it's a little bit different than our initial assumption. According to our initial assumption, we had a basic case, right? Im b'machteret yimatzei haganav hu kav amet ein lo damim. Right, the basic case in the Torah is that if there's a burglar in your home and you kill the burglar, then it is not considered murder. because it was an act of self-defense. However, im zarcha Hashem shalav damim lo, right? But if it was during the day, right, according to the initial reading that we had of the pasuk, then it is murder, you know, because then it was, there was reason to believe that the person would not have killed you, and therefore it's not an act of self-defense. But the fallback case of the Torah, according to this initial reading, is that under ordinary circumstances, you are allowed to kill a burglar coming into your home, unless zecha Hashem eshalav. Right, but according to the way that the Gemara is reading the Psukim, that basic case, that fallback case, does not exist. Right, how do we read the Pasuk? Im b'machteret yimatzeh haganav hu kav amet, nikudotayim. Right, if in the basement of your home you find a ganav and you kill the ganav and the ganav dies, such and such are the possibilities, right? Colon, right? This is what the possibilities are. Ein lo damim im zarcha Hashem eshalav, right? The first breita. Im zarcha Hashem eshalav damim lo, right? If you have a situation where a ganav is found in the home and is killed, right? You either have the possibility of breita number one or breita number two. Again, breita number one being you must be sure that he wants to kill you in order to kill him, and breita number two being you are allowed to kill him unless you are sure that he comes in peace, right? And again, how can you read both of those into the psukim? And that's when the Gemara comes along and explains that one is talking about father breaking into son's house, and the second is son breaking into father's house. This is how the Gemara understands the psukim for the purposes of Teresh Abelpeh. Put all this for the moment on the back burner, and now let's take a look at Rashi. Im b'machteret yimatzeh haganav hu kam v'met ein lo damim. Right, our pasuk aleph. Rashi says im b'machteret k'shehaya choteret habayit, when the burglar is breaking into the home, right, if he is killed, ein lo damim ein zo ritzicha. It is not murder, says Rashi. Harei hu kemet mi'ikaro, because it is as if he is already dead. And if you kill somebody who is already dead, right, then it is not considered murder. And then Rashi goes on to explain the principle of im ba lehargecha hashkem lehargo. If someone comes to kill you, right, if you're in a scenario where somebody might kill you, you are allowed to kill in self-defense, right? So far Rashi is understanding the psukim according to our initial reading of the psukim, where the fallback case presented by the Torah is that under general circumstances, if there's a burglar in your home, if you kill that burglar, you have not committed murder because you killed in self-defense. Pasuk Bet, Rashi continues, Im zarcha Hashemesh alav, ein ze ela kemin mashal. And here, Rashi enters the world of metaphor that we've already seen in the Gemara. This is not other than a mashal. This is a metaphor. The words, Im zarcha Hashemesh alav, if the sun shines upon him, are a metaphor. And how does he understand it? Im varur lecha hadavar sheyesh shalom imcha, Kashemesh hazeh shehu shalom ba'olam, if it is clear to you that the burglar has peace with you, meaning he comes in peace, like the sun, which is peace in the world, kach pashut lecha she'eino ba laharog, and therefore it is simple to you, it is clear to you that he has not come to kill you. He is not intending to kill. Afilu ya'amod ba'al hamamon kenegdo. Even if the owner of the money, even if the house owner would stand up against him, then you are not allowed to kill him. Right? And Rashi does go on a little bit more. We'll get to that in a moment. And what Rashi does here is very interesting. Now, with the background that we saw in the Gemara of the two breitot, essentially it seems that Rashi is following the second breita, because there too the pasuk is read, you are allowed to kill the ganav, you're allowed to kill the burglar, unless you are sure that he comes in peace, which is essentially how Rashi is reading these psukim, right? The fallback case is, if there's a burglar in your home, you're allowed to kill him in self-defense. However, if it's clear to you that he comes in peace, then you are not allowed to kill him. Rashi, however, does not only quote the second breita. Right, there's something which is added into Rashi, which might seem might seem insignificant, might just be like seem like a gloss to the same idea seen in the Brighta, but it actually a subtle difference which has significance. The Brighta understands the metaphor of the sun in the pasuk Im Zarcha Alav Hashemesh simply as if it is clear to you as the sun that he comes in peace, then you are not allowed to kill him. The sun, daylight, brightness being a metaphor here for clarity. This, as you might have noticed, is not exactly what Rashi says. He says, "Ein ze ela kemin mashal, im baror lecha davar sheyesh shalom imcha." Right? This sounds like the Brighta so far. If it is clear to you that he comes in peace, but then Rashi adds on, "Kashemesh hazeh shehu shalom ba'olam." Right? He brings in a second metaphor, kind of mixed in here. If it is clear to you that he comes in peace, like the sun, which is peace in the world, right? Somehow the sun is seen as a metaphor for peace in the world. An interesting idea, which might be a worthy subject for a different shiur. Kach pashut lecha she'en ba laharog, and therefore it is simple to you that he is not coming to kill you, even if you were to stand up against him, therefore you are not allowed to kill him. Rashi brings in the second metaphor for the sun in his commentary. Now Rashi does not make this up, right? He's actually drawing upon a different source from the Michilta of the Rabbi Ishmael, a Midrash Halacha. In Michilta it says, Im zarcha Hashemesh alav, Hashemesh alav bilvad zarcha, right, the same question we saw in the Brighta and the Gemara. V'halol kol ha'olam kulo, kol ha'olam kulo zarcha, ela ma Hashemesh shalom ba'olam, af ze im yadu ahu shebashalom imo, v'harago hare ze chayav. So the Michilta is answering the same question that we saw in the Brighta and the Gemara, right? Why is it say im zarcha Hashemesh alav? Right, when Im Zarcha Hashemesh would have been sufficient. Why is it specifically Alav? So the Mechilta's interpretation of why Alav is if the sun, which really is a metaphor for peace, shines upon him, meaning if he comes in peace, then you are not allowed to kill him. Now interesting, Rashi kind of, in some ways, takes a little bit from the Brighta and a little bit from the Mechilta. He takes the second metaphor of the sun being a metaphor for peace from the Mechilta, right? But he also takes something of the language of the Brighta from the Gemara when he says, in his telling of the explanation, Im barur lecha davar sheyesh lo shalom imcha. Kach pashut lecha she'en ba laharog. Right, if it is clear to you that he who comes as the sun in peace is not coming to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. In other words, he's using both metaphors. He's using the metaphor as the sun as a symbol of peace, and he's also using the metaphor as of the sun as something which the sun as clarity. And the question, of course, is why? Right? Why is Rashi essentially bringing the opinion of the Mechilta, but also bringing in something of the answer in the Brighta, or perhaps the question should be flipped. The Goraye asks on Rashi, the Maharal's commentary on Rashi, asks why Rashi brings in the Mechilta at all. After all, the sources in the Gemara are much more authoritative in terms of Torah Sheba'al Peh, in terms of Halacha. Why would Rashi then opt to draw upon the Mechilta and not just be happy to draw solely upon the Gemara, the Brighta and the Gemara? Right? Why does he bring both? The Maharal, the Goraye, notes in his commentary that Rashi cites the Mechilta rather than the Gemara, despite the Gemara's greater authority, in his attempt, right, as we mentioned earlier, to remain true to the simple meaning of the text. Since the psukim seem to be speaking about any burglary, and not only the specific cases involving fathers and sons, Rashi prefers to interpret the text in the general way suggested by the Mechilta. In other words, he doesn't want to narrow the cases discussed in the Torah to the two scenarios discussed in the Gemara, of a father breaking into a son's house or a son breaking into a father's house. And so while in Torah Sheba'al Peh they might use these psukim to learn out what to do in those specific circumstances, what Rashi wants to do is to broaden the discussion again about burglars in general, not just about the burglaries involving family, close family, these particular close family members. Interestingly, at the end of the Rashi on the Pasuk, which we didn't read together yet, Rashi brings in something which is related to the cases brought in the Gemara. He says, kigon, right, when it says that you're not allowed, according to this pasuk, to kill somebody if it's clear to you that he comes in peace, kigon av hachoter lignov mamon haben, biyadua shirachameha av al haben ve'ino ba'al iske nefashot. Right, what's a perfect example of this, says Rashi, of a case where it's crystal clear that the person is not coming with intent to kill? The case of a father stealing his son's money. Right? Because it is clear, it is known that the father would never come to his son with intention to kill. So it's almost as if what Rashi is doing here is giving a nod to the discussion of the Gemara as a way of saying nothing that I am saying here is in contradiction with the conclusions of the Gemara. Right? If a father comes to steal from his son, the son has to be 100% sure that the father wants to kill him in order to kill him. And also, I assume Rashi would say, right, that if a son comes to steal from a father, then the father can assume that the son might kill him unless it's crystal clear to him otherwise. So in other words, the Torah Shabbat stays, what's changed here is how to read the Psukim. There seems to be one other thing that Rashi is doing here. And this goes back, of course, to the quoting of the Mechilta. By quoting the Mechilta, right, by bringing in the second metaphor of the sun as the metaphor for peace, Rashi is making sure that the pasuk is read only according to the interpretation that he gives it. Why? Initially, it seems that you could just say, well, why didn't he just quote the second Braita? Right? The second Braita is essentially saying the same thing that he is. But as we noted earlier, the second Braita, as brought in the context of the Gemara, assumes that the Pasuk is read according to both of the Braitot, right? With the Gemara's resolution of the seeming contradiction between the first Braita and the second Braita. But both are meant to be read. And the only way to read them together is by narrowing the reading of the psukim to the specific topic of sons stealing from fathers and fathers stealing from sons. Rashi, as we already noted, right, as the Gurayeh comments in his commentary, doesn't want to narrow down the topic to those specific issues. He wants to keep it broad, and therefore he can't really quote the second Braita, because that would basically take the second Braita out of context. A sort of intellectual dishonesty, if you will, in the reading of the Braita, because the Braita is meant to be read in the specific context in which it is found. Rashi wants to be able, also, not only to be able to broaden the context, but to be able to read the Pasuk, specifically the first part of the first Pasuk, Pasuk Aleph, according to what seems to be the Pshat, right? Not that you have to read the words Im Zachah Hashem HaShalav into both directions, with the words that's just an introduction, and then you have the two readings of how to read the Pasuk according to V'zachah Hashem HaShalav. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to read the Pasuk, right, as we initially read it. Right, that the basic scenario is that if you kill a burglar, it's not murder. And then there's the exception brought by the Im Zachah Hashem HaShalav in Pasuk Bet. And that is why it seems to me that the second reason that he quotes the Mechilta, right? The first reason, as I just stated now, that he can't really quote the second opinion in the second Braita, the second opinion brought in the Gemara, because that would be taking it out of a context reading it into the Pasuk in a way that it was not used in the context in the Gemara. But it seems that he also quotes the Mechilta, right? Not only because it cites the opinion that he wants to follow, but also because of the second metaphor that's brought in the Mechilta, right? The metaphor of the sun as a metaphor for peace. What does that second metaphor add? Right? And we saw that Rashi really uses both metaphors. He takes the metaphor both from the Braita and the metaphor for the Mechilta. What does that add? According to the two Braitot, the metaphor of the sun as clarity is ambiguous. Right? Im zachah Hashemesh alav, if it is crystal clear that, well, that what? right? It could be crystal clear that he's coming to kill you, or it could be crystal clear that he's not coming to kill you, right? As we see in the two Brighta themselves, right? That each Brighta reads the metaphor differently. What the second metaphor in the Mechilta does is that it forces you to read the Pasuk according to only one of the metaphors. What is the metaphor? That the sun is a metaphor for peace. What is crystal clear? That the person is coming in peace. Right? So by quoting that second, that other source, the Mechilta, by bringing in that second metaphor found in the Mechilta, it's Rashi is telling us that we have that he has chosen one particular reading of what does it mean that it's clear? What is clear, right? And his answer is that it's clear that the Ganav is coming in peace and does not intend to kill. So once again, we see in this one comment of Rashi's many of the things that we've seen about Rashi in the past, right? His loyalty to the Midrashic sources, the fact that he prefers to choose the Midrashic sources which fit best into the Pshat of the Psukim, his loyalty, of course, to Torah Shebaal Peh, and the fact that he often reworks the sources in very subtle ways, ways that can be easily missed, in order to achieve his goal of bringing all of these different things together. Shabbat Shalom u'mevarach.